understand something about the Bible and the way God speaks. Sometimes the Bible is able to be discerned and studied and digested just like it is. Amen? Does that make sense? So, but because this word is the Bible, God says that the word of God, this word right here, is a living word. That means it can take on new meanings, not that it necessarily takes on new meanings, but our understanding of what God said or did sometimes in these old passages, new life can come into those because this word is living and it's expanding. And as we grow and as we evolve and as we get more of God's heart in our lives, the word of God sometimes speaks different ways. There's different layers. Amen. And so this is a word that when I say it's a prophetic word, I'm not necessarily trying to be, I'm not worried about all of the contextualized things, but it's just a God-breathed word that God wants to speak. Amen. And sometimes when God has a word like that, when God has a specific word that he wants to speak in our lives, the reason he gives that is because that prophetic word, he wants to use that to propel us in our walk with God into the next thing that God wants for us. Amen, somebody? And so this is going to be one of those things that I want you to, something, I heard a preacher one time say, some things are taught and some things are caught. Amen. And this is something I want you to catch today. This is not going to be something taught. This is something that I'm just going to throw some stuff out there, and I want you to catch it in your spirit. Amen, somebody? How many are ready to catch something in your spirit this morning? Let's get into it here right now. We talked about the X blessing. The X blessing. We looked at Joseph's life last week and realized, and I believe that what God is saying right now in this season is that just as God over Joseph's life gave him a son named Ephraim, and he named and Ephraim means double or multiplied blessing, and Joseph said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my grief. And I believe God is writing fruitful over top of our suffering. Amen, somebody? I believe God is writing fruitful over top of our pain and our grief in this season as we end this year and go into what God has for us next. And I'm going to unpack that a little bit more as we talk about the X blessing part two. I want to read this text today, Genesis chapter 48. I'm going to read a few verses. You can follow on a new version or follow along on the screen. Here we go. Genesis chapter 48, verses 12 through 20. I hinted at this text, and we're going to dig into it here today. It says, Joseph moved the boys who were at their grandfather's knees, and he bowed with his face to the ground. Just the context here, just a little bit so we understand the story of what we're reading. Joseph, at the end of his life, after being taken away from his father, Jacob, for many, many, many years. Jacob, they've been reunited. Jacob is an old man. Joseph has these two sons. And at the end of Jacob's life, Joseph is bringing his sons to his father to be blessed. And this is where we pick up. Joseph moved the boys who were at their grandfather's knees, and he bowed with his face to the ground. Then he positioned the boys in front of Jacob. With his right hand, he directed Ephraim toward Jacob's left hand. With his left hand, he put Manasseh at Jacob's right hand. But Jacob crossed his arms as he reached out to lay his hands on the boys' heads. He put his right hand on the head of Ephraim, though he was the younger boy, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, though he was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this very day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they preserve my name in the names of Abraham and Isaac, and may their descendants multiply greatly throughout the earth. Verse 17, but Joseph was upset when he saw that his father placed his right hand on Ephraim's head. So Joseph lifted it to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. No, my father, he said, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused. I know, my son, I know, he replied. Manasseh will also become a great people, but his younger brother will become even greater, and his descendants will become a multitude of nations. So Jacob blessed the boys that day with this blessing. The people of Israel will use your names when they give a blessing. They will say, may God make you as prosperous as Ephraim and Manasseh. In this way, Jacob put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. I thank you for your word coming alive and speaking to each and every one of our hearts this morning. I pray, God, that we will catch everything that you want us to catch in this moment today. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that your anointing will push and propel us forward into everything that you have for us in Jesus' precious name. Everybody said amen and amen. Hey, back at the camera real quick, just if you could zoom me out just a little bit because I keep walking into our graphic here. And I don't want to do that. So there we, that should do it right about there. Maybe just a smidge more because it's going to freak me out. And I don't want to ignore all these fine looking people on this side of the room this morning. All right, that's good. Thank you. Thank you. Good job, guys. All right, here we go. you ever seen those commercials for like H&R Block or like Mutual of Omaha where they're like, we care about your financial future. Call today to get a financial plan to put, I mean, you're, you know, those commercials. Like, I think it's H&R Block that has one. There's like a, it's like a green or maybe a purple line. You know, they got a line that's going through, and it's like retirement a line and it's a college fund line and all that. One day I got curious. I called one. I thought, man, I should definitely be concerned about my financial future. I got four kids, for God's sake. I don't know how we're going to make this work. And I called them up. I said, hey, I'm looking for some financial advice. The commercial said to call them. They said, what's your present financial future? What's your plans for the financial future? I didn't have an answer. I said, really? I'm just hoping that my mom and dad have done really well in their finances and that when they move on, there'll be something good left for me. To my surprise, that is not a sound financial plan. But mom and dad, I need you guys to buckle down, tighten up, be good stewards, and be disciplined, okay? Because I'm counting on you. Your grandchildren are also counting on. No, but anyway, so that's, I call it the Old Testament retirement plan because that's what kind of the Old Testament plan was. The Old Testament retirement plan, you see this played out over and over and over again in the book of Genesis, is that, you know, the father would accumulate, and then when it was his time to move on, he would lay his hands on his sons and he would pass on his inheritance, pass on his wealth to the next generation, generation after generation after generation. And the right hand and the left hand were significant in this culture. Basically, the right hand was preserved. It represented the right hand of blessing, and it was reserved for the oldest child, okay? In fact, in Jacob's life, when he was younger, he actually stole the right hand inheritance from his older brother Esau, so he understood the significance of it. The significance of the right hand was basically this. It represented a double portion as opposed to what everyone else got, okay? So Ephraim and Manasseh are two kids, so when it was their turn to split up their father's wealth, basically they would divide that into three parts, and the older son would get a double. He would get two-thirds, and the younger son would get a third, and that's how it worked. They got a double portion, and it was very important that the older got the double portion. So you see this. Micah, come here real quick. Micah, get up here. Come here. You're going to help me. I need Cody, you come here, and Terry, you come up here real quick, all right? Is everybody clean and tested? Everybody good? Nobody's got a fever or anything? Okay, here we go. Here's what we're going to do. So this is the story that breaks down here, okay? You're going to be Jacob, okay? No, we need the old guy to be Jacob. Come here. I'm just kidding. You're good. No, Cody, you're good. You're going to be Jacob. I'm messing with you. Don't beat me up. Cody, you're going to be Jacob, okay? And I'm going to be Joseph, and you're going to be Manasseh, and you're going to be Ephraim, okay? And so this is what happens. I'm going to get this confused. Joseph really had to think on his feet here. So this is Cody's right hand here. So he positioned Manasseh to be there. And yeah, look, I had that right. God was helping me all along. Okay, so he has this out. So we see the story where, no thanks, Terry. I'm going to do the talking here, okay? I'm prepared. Shut up. Okay, so just a backstory here. He came to church here for like a year, and I called him Patrick for some reason for like a year until finally, out of the goodness of his heart, I guess he just couldn't be stood called the wrong name anymore. He was like, Pastor, my name is Terry. And then you just messed with me. You had to eat. Okay, anyway, thanks, Terry. Love you, man. Okay, anyway, no more from you. Just sit here and do what I tell you. So Joseph brings his sons to Jacob, right, to be, and he brings them in. And this, and so we see the story. This is what happens. The Bible says that Jacob takes his right hand and places it on Ephraim, and he crossed over his other hand and placed on Manasseh, and he made this, and then he blessed him. That's where he pronounced the blessing. Now I want you to leave your hands this way, turn this way, face everybody, and put your hands up just like they are. Stretch, put your, and what he did is he made this X. Amen, somebody? He made his hands an X as he pronounced this blessing. And I believe God has an X blessing for us and for you and for your family and for your household and for your children that God is releasing right now. Amen, somebody? And I want to dig. You guys can sit down. Thank you. I want to talk about exactly what that X means, because here's what I know. There are no accidents in Scripture. Amen? Every word God spoke, everything that happens, even though it may look like a coincidence on the outside, God is very organized, and God our Father has put the things in Scripture. In fact, you know how I know this was a significant event? If you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11, where the author of Hebrews starts to talk about all of the amazing things that all of our Old Testament heroes did, talks about Abraham, talks about Isaac, talks about when he comes to Jacob. Now, Jacob had some wild things in his life that he could have talked about. I mean, Jacob, the Bible says in Genesis 32, actually wrestled with the angel of the Lord, which was probably Jesus in the Old Testament showing himself from heaven. And Jacob wrestled with him, the Bible says, all night long until Jesus basically dislocated Jacob's hip and Jacob walked with the limp. And Jacob's cry was, I won't let you go until you bless me. Jacob had an encounter with God at a place called Bethel, where he had a dream, and the Bible says he saw the heavens open and angels of God ascending and descending like a ladder from heaven to earth, and he built an altar there called Bethel. I mean, Jacob had some wild things happen in his life, but you know what? The one thing that thousands of years later, the author of Hebrews remembers for Jacob by his faith was this story. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:21 that Jacob, by faith, blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. That's the thing that gets remembered thousands of years later. So this is a significant thing that God pronounces. And a few weeks ago, I was reading the story, and the Holy Spirit just put this in my heart. An X blessing is what I want for my people, what he wants for you and me. Amen? Here's some things the X unpacks if we receive an X blessing. The first thing is this. We've already talked about it last week. We went into this in detail last week. But the X, I believe when Ephraim crossed his hands and blessed Ephraim, or when Jacob crossed his hands to bless Joseph's children, Joseph, who was sold into slavery, left for dead by his brothers, left forgotten about and left to rot in an Egyptian prison, and then whom God raised up to literally save the entire world from 7 years of devastating famine, not only saved the world, but saved his brothers who had tried to kill him and saved his father who had never stopped searching for him. Listen, when Jacob crossed his hands over, he was saying to you and to me and saying to Joseph, I am Xing out. I am writing an X over the years of suffering. I am crossing out the pain. I'm crossing out the grief. I'm crossing out the suffering that you've been going through, and I am writing instead over that place of pain, fruitfulness. I'm writing blessing over top of your suffering. Amen. How many's got some suffering you want to see God X out from this year and instead write blessing on it? I know I do. How many's got some stuff in your life you're ready to see God's X come over and for God to write fruitful and blessed over top of those places of pain? That's what the X represents. God said, I'm crossing it out and I'm writing something new over it. Second thing the X represents, in verse 20, and we could probably go on and on. I'm going to give you three things the X represents that I think God wants us to believe for in the X blessing. And it's this. Here we go. The second thing is this. It means the blessing is greater than what you forgot. Okay? Or it means the blessing is ahead of your suffering. The Bible says that when Jacob makes this X and pronounces this X blessing over Ephraim and Manasseh, Ephraim, who was the younger, the Bible says in verse 20 that in this way Jacob put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. You know what the X blessing wants to do in your life? God wants to let you and I know that the blessing in front of you is greater than the pain that's behind you.
Amen. Somebody needs to receive that. I said, God has blessings laid out ahead of you, ahead of your next step, ahead of your walk, ahead of your life. And the blessing that God has ahead of you is greater than any of the pain and the suffering behind you. How many are ready to see the blessings ahead of you rather than the pain behind you? Listen, the X blessing means that I've got blessings in front of me. My greatest days are not done. My greatest days are ahead. Come on, somebody. My time has not yet peaked. The greatest ministry, the greatest fruitfulness, the greatest things God has for me, they are still ahead of me. God is X-ing it. God is putting the blessing ahead of the pain. The blessing is greater than what you forgot. The blessing is greater than the pain that it took to get there. God is releasing the X blessing. The third thing that the X represents, he's crossing stuff out and writing new things over it. He's putting blessing ahead of you instead of pain and misery. The third thing is this. How many math fans do we have in the room? None? Oh, man. Just me? No, I'm just kidding. What does the X represent in math? Huh? Multiplication. Okay, everybody understands what I'm saying. I want to make sure there's no question here. Okay, good. Okay, you've got the cross is the addition. You turn that thing sideways and it's multiplied, right? Okay, multiplier. Could it be? You know what's crazy? Is not only does Ephraim's name literally mean multiplied blessings or double prosperity. Not only that, in verse 16, what does Jacob say? What does he pronounce over Ephraim? It says, may their descendants multiply greatly throughout the earth. Now, Jacob, I'm sure when he's doing that thousands of years ago, is not working all this out in his head. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that this is what Jacob was literally meaning. He just was led by the Spirit of God. But I believe this is what God is speaking through that story, through what God orchestrated. What if God was saying, you know what? I'm going to, the fruitfulness that I'm writing over top of your pain, the fruitfulness that I'm writing over top of your grief, it's not only going to be fruitful over top of your pain, but that fruitfulness is going to multiply to generations after generations in your life. What if the pain and the suffering and the misery and the hard times and the stuff that we've had to deal with over the course of this year, dealing with things that we never thought we'd have to deal with or experience things we never thought we'd had to experience, what if out of that extreme grief and extreme suffering, God is birthing fruitfulness that is not only going to make you forget the pain it took to get there, but is also going to multiply in your life for years and years and years to come. That's the kind of fruitful, I believe God is writing over top of your suffering. Amen, somebody. God is not just adding to your life. God is multiplying his blessings over your life. Amen, somebody. Because that's the kind of God we serve. God isn't satisfied to just allow you and me to survive and eke through and barely get by an extreme season of suffering without blessing those who come through it faithfully with multiplied blessings and X blessings. Somebody needs to get excited and begin to understand that God has an X that he's writing over your life. And it's not just crossing over some stuff. It's not just writing over some stuff. It is multiplying his presence, his glory, his anointing, his calling, his purpose in your life. Amen, somebody? Now, with everything that God does, with everything that God speaks, with every blessing, with every promise, with every word that God gives us, listen, there is always going to be the opportunity for my ignorance, for my human error, for my lack of faith, for my tradition, for my whatever, to undo what God wants to do. And I want to encourage you right now, listen to me close, don't miss this. Don't unmake the X. You read the story. The Bible says Joseph actually gets mad at his father. He says, listen, you crazy old man. I set this all up the way it was supposed to. I got the older kid on this side. I got the younger kid on this side. And it's all right. And man, you kooky old bat, you flipped your hands over. What are you doing? In fact, the Bible says that Joseph, you read it, if I'll just read it to you. Look what it says in verse 17. It says Joseph lifted it to move it. Joseph actually put his hands on Jacob to move his hands and get it straightened out. And Jacob corrected him and said, hey, I'm not senile. I know what I'm doing. This is what I'm led to do. This is what's going to happen. Amen? And I want to encourage you, listen, don't let anything make you unmake the X that God's writing over your life. Guess what? The X blessing is not going to make sense. The X blessing might defy all logic. The X blessing might not line up with the way things have always been done or the way things have always been. The X blessing might not line up with some of the tradition that you're used to. The X blessing might not all add up or figure out on paper like it's supposed to. Don't you dare put your hand on the X and try to unmake the X that God is writing over your life. Amen, somebody? I mean, if Joseph has had his way, he would have literally unmade what God was doing. And what would that have done? That would have put, instead of putting the blessing ahead of what he forgot, that would have actually put what he forgot ahead of his blessing. Manasseh's name means to forget. Ephraim's name means blessing. That's one of the reasons probably why prophetically Jacob wanted to cross his hands over and God let him over, because God wants to let you and I know that his blessing is never going to take a back seat or sit behind the pain that we need to forget in our lives. God said, no. I'm going to put the blessing ahead of what you forget. Amen, somebody? Let me put it this way. Don't put the pain of your past ahead of the blessing in your future. We can unmake the X if we hobble along into next year, or if you hobble along into whatever season comes next. If we get there and we continue to look back and grieve and mourn and complain and be bitter about what we went through and about what we lost and about what we suffered. I'm not saying, listen, you're going to know what you're, I mean, you're not going to magically just wake up one day and not know what you've been through. What I'm saying is we can't continually look back at that and continually make excuses and go, well, if it wasn't just for that thing happening, or if it wasn't just for 2020, or if it wasn't just for this thing, if it wasn't for coronavirus, if it wasn't for Trump, if it wasn't for Biden, if it wasn't for whatever we're looking at in the past, listen, you know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be continually looking back, and instead of blessing being in front of you, what you're trying to forget will be in front of you, and you'll be unmaking the X. Amen? To receive the X blessing, I've got to, by faith, believe and allow the blessing to stay in front of me. Yeah, I went through some stuff. Yeah, I've had to pick myself up. Yeah, I've went through some pain. Yeah, I've went through some suffering. Yeah, I've went through some stuff that I don't ever, in the name of Jesus, want to ever have to go through again. But I am turning away from what I need to forget, and I'm looking forward to the blessing that God has for me, because he's got an X over my life, and he is multiplying his fruitfulness through the pain that I've went through, and the blessing ahead of me is greater than the pain behind me, in Jesus' name. Don't put the pain of your past ahead of the blessing in your future. Let the X defy logic. Amen. Let's let our faith get to a place where we're going to believe God to bless us in a way that doesn't make sense to anyone. Come on, somebody. Let God write an X over your life that you can't explain, that doesn't make any sense, and that when you try to figure it all out, listen, who cares? God's writing an X anyway. Amen, somebody. Let the X defy logic. The X blessing. And I'm going to have just a few more minutes, because I can't not share this piece of the X with you. Listen, don't miss this. Jesus is the X blessing. You follow me? Now, I know we know everything's, but here, listen, this is even on a whole nother prophetic level. This is why the word of God is so unbelievable. And why you know there's no accidents. Do you know in the original Greek language what the first letter of the Greek alphabet of the name Christ is? It's an X. Not a C in the English. Christ in Greek begins with the Greek letter X. See, that's why you don't need to get all bent out of shape. In fact, you got to understand, I know sometimes, you know, we put our foot down and go, well, bless God, ain't nobody taking Christ out of my Christmas. Hallelujah. Okay, I get it. I know. Listen, you know something? In the first century, it was actually very common to just abbreviate with the first letter of stuff. Christians did it all the time. That's where the Xmas come from. It wasn't from someone trying to take Christ out of Christmas. It was actually from people just simply abbreviating Christ and writing Christmas that way. It was a very common thing to do back in the day when they started suffering on this. That's what it did. Amen, somebody? And so, and if anybody's trying to say Xmas because, you know, it's Happy Holidays, not Merry Christmas or whatever else, I got news for you. You can't take Christ out of Christmas even if you wanted to, because God already wrote it into the book a long time ago that X represents Christ. Amen, somebody? So we don't need to get all bent out of shape. We don't need to get upset about it. It's all good. It means Jesus, okay? Christ was the common abbreviation. I, with everything in my soul, believe that God the Father orchestrates this event. And it's this event that crosses over into the New Testament. It's this event from Jacob's life that speaks of his faith in something greater than even what he was looking forward to in that day. Amen, somebody? And God orchestrates this X as if to say to us, New Testament believers, thousands of years later, probably 10,000 years after this event takes place, to let us know that in Christ, in the X, all of the suffering of our past, he can turn to fruitfulness. All of the pain of our past, he can make fruitful out of it, and it's all in Christ. Amen, somebody? This is what's also happening in Christ. Listen, because Joseph was a man of extreme suffering. I don't want to go back through all the story. We did that last week. His brothers hated him, sold him into slavery. If you notice, I'm going to say I don't want to go back into the story, and then I'm going to go ahead and go back into the story. His brothers hated him. They sold him into slavery. He was blessed, and God blessed him there. Then a situation happened that put him in prison. In prison, he rose to the occasion. God blessed him there, and he was forgotten about and forgotten about and forgotten about until finally his moment came and his gift was realized, and then he was put in this amazing position. But Joseph dealt with extreme pain. Some of you in this room, parents, moms, and dads, might be dealing with pasts that are extremely wild, extremely crazy. And one of the things, one of the reasons you're even in this building this morning, one of the reasons you're watching online, is because you don't want to pass on the pain that you've went through to your children. You decided, I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to do what I got to do. I got good news for you. In the X, in Jesus, listen, in Christ, I can pass blessing onto my children rather than my pain. Amen, somebody? Joseph's life was marked by pain, but his kids' lives were going to be marked by an X. His children's lives were going to be marked by blessing. And I'm determined in Jesus' name, I'm going to pass on blessing to my children, not my grief, not my pain, not my suffering. But that can only happen truly, truly in Christ, in the X. In Christ, I can pass blessing onto my children rather than pain. In Christ, everything gets turned over. In Christ, I don't have to continue to look to my past and wonder, how am I going to get through it? In Christ, in the X, I can look to my future with hope. I can look to my future with faith. I can look to my future with expectation, knowing that there's blessing ahead of me. In the X blessing. Amen, somebody? When the musicians come today, Jesus is the X blessing. And today in this place, if you're watching online or you're in this building, I want you to know, not only does God have an X blessing for you, but God wants you to know the X, Him, Jesus. And you can do that right now in this moment. Listen, listen. Don't miss the real blessing here, folks. Amen? Because here's the thing. You know, there are some things that God will do. Let me say it this way. When it rains, we all get wet. Amen? If God decides, I'm going to rewrite some stuff, I'm going to X some stuff out, I'm going to make some things happen, guess what? Everybody's going to benefit from that, whether you know Jesus or not. Amen, somebody? Because when it rains, we all get wet. So don't experience the blessing that God has and miss the blesser himself. And the blesser is Jesus. Stand with me all over this place this morning. You say, well, how do I do that? How do I know Jesus? Listen, it's real simple. In fact, it's so simple, I can break it down and let you know about this in A, B, C. A, I need to accept that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself and can't figure it out. Amen? And that is where every single one of us, when we are born, find ourselves in that position. No matter how good we think we are or how bad we think we are, we all need to accept and understand the reality that I am a sinner who is in need of a Savior, and I cannot find a Savior anywhere within myself. I cannot be good enough. I cannot be bad enough. I cannot be anything enough. I have to accept that. Amen? Accept. B, believe that Jesus is the Savior that I need to save me. Amen, somebody? And that's a very boiled down, simplified version. I want to give you the simple truth. It's that simple. Accept that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Believe that Jesus is that Savior. Believe that Jesus is, in fact, who he said he was. And Jesus declared that he was the Son of God sent to save you and I and the entire world. That's who he is. Amen? See, I don't understand this stuff because there's some people that will say that, well, Jesus, you know, I believe Jesus was a good guy. He was a great teacher. But I don't know about some of that. I don't know if he was really the Son of God. Listen to me. People that go around saying that they're God are not good people. Amen? So Jesus either was who he said he is, or he's a maniac. And if I believe that a lot of that everything Jesus said, except for the God stuff, if I believe that everything else really lines up and is the way that we should live, then I need to accept everything. Amen, somebody? Because good people, good guys, good people don't go around saying they're God. He either is who he said he is, or he's a maniac. And I believe he is who he said he is. Not just with some blind, listen, friend, that's not just with some blind faith because some other preacher told me about it. Man, that's because I've seen him and know him and experienced him in my life. I'm telling you, he is. You can believe in this Savior. Hey, accept that I need a Savior. B, believe that Jesus is that Savior. And C, confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth Jesus is the Son of God, so shall I be saved. Amen? When I release with my mouth what I believe in my heart, heaven meets earth. That's why we raise our hand to publicly acknowledge. That is that confession. That's why we pray out loud, and it brings heaven to earth. Amen, somebody? You can do that today. Right now, you can know Jesus. Right now, you can know not just about the blessing, but you can know the one that is the blessing. Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all over this room. If you're watching online, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And if you're online with us right now, YouTube or Facebook, drop that raised hand emoji or just comment right there, hey, I'm praying this prayer. And then everybody, whether you're in the building or online, go to redlifechurch.com. And it says, did you accept Jesus today? Right in the middle of the page. I want you to fill that out so that we can pray with you, so we can believe God with you. In fact, in just a moment, under these projectors, under these screens, there's going to be people to pray with you if you're in the building. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. And I'm going to ask you right now to raise your hand if you're saying, preacher, I want to know
not just about the blessing today, but I want to know the blesser. I want to know the X. I want to know Jesus today is my Savior. Will you just right now lift your hands? Will you just right now just lift your hand right now? Amen. Amen. I see a couple hands up. There may be more online. This happens every single week. We're going to pray. I want everyone in this room right now to pray with me out loud with your own ears so you can hear it. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Come and live on the inside of me. Make me the new creature that you've called me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Spirit, move in hearts, move in minds, move in lives and families right now. All throughout this room, God, and in homes and cars and living rooms and kitchen tables and break rooms, Lord, right now, Holy Spirit, move for those that have prayed that prayer in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let them know. Let them know that you're making them sons and daughters of God, which is exactly what your word has promised to do. In the name of Jesus.